Terence, it's third time lucky. Are you there?
I'm here. I'm feeling lucky. There are no more aborted tours, aborted podcasts. We go.
No more. No more gremlins in the system. No more metaphors. Moving on for this. So I was thinking again as you were coming through then. Initially, we said, oh, you know, the first attempt didn't work. And it was, you know, like an aborted tour to Pakistan, which you've just alluded to, which again is fine. And I thought, well, this is the third attempt. I thought, similar to Ben Stokes' third attempt at an Ashes series coming up, was what cropped up in my mind. Any other third attempts that you think we could weasel in here?
This is going to be England's third crack at a T20 World Cup final, we hope.
Okay.
This is going to be Joe Root's third crack at an Ashes in Australia.
Yet to get a century.
Yet to win a test, I think. Is that
absolutely
right?
Yeah. No, we generally don't win a test. So, no. So yeah, going on three tours would generally mean you've not won any.
Yeah. Any more third attempts from you?
No, none spring to mind actually. But all got so much time for all of yours. That, you know, I've literally scribbled down 6 or 7 points to talk about, to get onto. We've already touched on the Ashes there. You've already touched on the T20 World Cup, and we're going to dive deeply into those.
I think there's been a lot of cricket since we last a PHP.
A PHP. I mean, what I'd actually said was, you know, since we last spoke and you indeed saw each other, you've not been to Old Trafford for a test match. So maybe we should start there and talk about the test that never was, but will be again in the future. I think it's actually going to be Edgbaston next year. Talk us through that dark next year,
in place of the South Africa test at Edgbaston next year that we bought tickets to.
Exactly. So it's a bummer
because I was quite looking forward to watching South Africa.
But now it's switched, but we do well at Edgbaston, so it's kind of I kind of like what we've done there.
Big fan of
just
that.
Just to really make sure that India don't win that series. So first things first, let's take us back to that date. I think it was 9/11 actually, wasn't it? Or was it just around there?
It was about then. I think it might have been the 10th.
Might have been the 10th.
Like
with yeah, my mini story of it is that the ultimate COVID for me, really, without getting it, was that originally I was meant to be going to a wedding in April or May 2020 in Spain. Yeah. That then got changed twice to the date, which actually then turned out to be the Old Trafford test, for which I'd bought tickets. I think I bought 5 for that one, actually. One of my less...
I thought you were in double figures.
That one. Maybe 6. Let's go with 6. So then I was elated, actually, when I was heading to this wedding and the test was cancelled. Talk us through your day, Terence. Was it similar emotions with you?
I can't say I was elated. I had got up to Manchester the night before, stayed over at my mate's parents' house.
Brilliant preparation.
Nice evening. Mm-hmm. Really well prepared. I got up there late, had a few beers in the evening, gone to bed, woke up bright and early, ready for the test match.
Mm-hmm.
We left London after we got the tests from the Indians had got their tests through and it had all been reported that the test was going ahead.
All fine.
All good.
No worries.
Even when there was a kind of rumour that they were being tested and it might be off, no one actually thought it was going to be cancelled, did they?
No, and the reason for that was because that the B side of India who'd gone and done a ODI tour, or maybe a T20 tour, maybe a bit of both, in Sri Lanka, 8 of their players had been ruled out of one game, yet they still delivered a match, and or they lost. I think it was one of the Pandeyas was tested positive, and all his close contacts weren't allowed to play.
Ruled out.
But there was a positive test there, so let's give them credit. And they battled through. Whereas didn't quite happen the same at Old Trafford, did it?
I mean, they were. Let's be let's be brutally honest, they were absolutely gagging for a positive test somewhere in that camp so they could go home.
Absolutely. Did their physio actually test positive? So they claimed. I mean, yeah, as you say, they were sniffing for it. They went as far as Ravi Shastri to go out and organise a book launch.
Well, there's still that picture of Bumrah doing the Old Trafford Stadium tour.
Mm.
Like for a team that's so afraid of COVID, they were doing an awful lot of sightseeing.
Yeah.
They were absolutely gagging for it. So
were they gagging more for a bit of COVID, or were they gagging more for the IPL?
Well, they just didn't want to play, did they?
They're not mutually exclusive. Yeah.
They just wanted to go in.
Yeah.
And we got to Manchester. We were in Manchester overnight. We decided to head into Manchester.
Brighton
early. Lunch and a few Brighton beers. And just have a fun day out between the four or five of us that were going to be at the cricket. A couple of us bumped into Mark Butcher.
Butch. He had his guitar?
He didn't have his guitar, Gareth.
No.
He was on his way. He was about to jump on a train. He was having a pint at the station. And we kind of briefly chatted to him. And his exact words were, "They've just had a fucking gutful. They can't wait to go home."
Butch, that's Butch for you.
Which is not the Sky Sports official line. But no. He did also say, of course they wanted to play. They'd have beaten us anyway.
So he was just happy. He was sad.
Resigned would be the vibe he was giving off. He was resigned to the fact that this was coming. He was resigned to the fact that it was just a bit of a mess. And he was looking forward to a couple more beers and a sleep on the train. I think the fact is it should have gone ahead. Like it shouldn't, they shouldn't have been in a position to, they should have been locked down more than they were. I completely understand the impact of COVID bubbles and bio bubble security and all of that good stuff. But I have minimal sympathy. Their job is to be ready to play cricket matches. You have the option not to be ready to play cricket matches. There's a bunch of guys waiting there to come and play those cricket matches. I just don't see that the biosecure bubble or bubble fatigue, as it's being called, is an opportunity not to go and do your job.
There he is. Terence has spoken. And it really kind of just set off a chain of games just being cancelled. I think it was like the following Friday, New Zealand cancelled their tour of Pakistan literally half an hour before the first game.
Yeah.
They were there. Well, again, it was a B team, but they were there. And then England cancelled. Well, New Zealand cancelled the tour for security reasons. Fine. Although there was a little bit of, I think, well, can you publish them? Well, of course, they're not going to publish what those security reasons are.
Yeah.
And then England, who were due to have a men and women's tour of Pakistan, cancelled.
Same security firm as New Zealand.
Same choice as New Zealand. Didn't cancel for security reasons, but cancelled for bio bubble mental health reasons. It didn't really.
I think that's such a, I'll say it, I think that's a weak excuse. I really do.
Weak.
Like, bearing in mind, like for all the reasons I've just listed, I'm sorry. Like, it's, I get it, it's only cricket, but you do have to be ready to go and play. That is your job. And we all have to protect players' mental health, and we all have to do more to protect players' mental health. But there are players there that are willing to play that tour. There will always be players there that are willing to play the tour. We have to, we owed it to Pakistan to put that tour on and to front up and be ready to go and play.
Absolutely. And did you owe it to the listeners of this podcast to tell us which, was that football you just turned down in the background then, Terence?
I sat on the unmute button rather.
Okay.
And you briefly caught
Birmingham v Bristol City 3-0 up?
No. You briefly heard Edinson Cavani coming on as a substitute for Marcus Rashford.
Excellent. In the
69th minute, United are 2-1 up. No, they're excellent. Not. They're 2-1 down. Perfect. Even better.
Keep it on mute, mate. That's well, what I will say, Terence, is you're shooting from the hip today. Not afraid to tell it as it is. It bugs you.
If I could summarize, look, there's more that we can do to protect a player's mental health, but we need to get these games on.
Need to get them on. Well, my lovely little segue here was to the first little segment or what's the word I'm looking for? It's a part of the pod. That's what we'll go with. It's a part of the pod. Well, basically, and chapter. And I think the fact that you've been featured, the fact that you've been shooting from the hip, very Farage-like for me. And
where?
What this feature was going to be called? Well, in tribute to, I don't know how familiar you are with GB News, Trick, or how much you watch it, but
I'm not a massive viewer.
Well, you're missing out because, firstly, you've got a section called Barrage the Farage, where your good friend Nigel takes some quickfire questions. And then, obviously, you've got Talking Pints, where Nigel has a... in his virtual pub at GB News has a pint with some kind of character, normally a famous person, and gives just really tells it how it is in his very liberal, woke manner. I think it's the best way of describing Farage, isn't it? So without any further ado, we're going to take a swig with Trigg, if that's okay with you. I don't know how well this is going to work, how long it's going to run for.
Let's pretend it's going to go brilliantly.
Let's pretend it's going to go brilliantly, because if we don't do it, Sky will. So how Take a Swig with Trigg is going to go is I've just got 10 quickfire questions on cricket for you, Terence.
Oh, okay. Have you pre-prepared this?
I've pre-prepared 10 quick questions, but you'll get them. They are quick questions. Okay. It's not a pinch hitter question of, the 19 left arm bowlers in the 18th century. And let's run with it. I mean, if I had some appropriate countdown music or something in the background, I would hit play now. So question one, who hosted the 2014 T20 men's T20 World Cup?
India.
Bang wrong. Who won the 2014 T20 World Cup men's?
Pakistan.
Bang wrong. Who won last year's BBL?
Sydney Thunder.
Bang wrong. This is going brilliantly. Who is currently top of this year's WBBL?
Sydney Thunder.
Bang wrong. Who won this season's IPL?
Chennai Super Kings.
Excellent. Question six. How old does Shaheen Shah Afridi claim to be?
21 or 2.
Bang 20, right. 22. Bang well. 21 and 210 days. So you get double points for that.
He's
one.
21
and 22. Question seven. How old is Shaheen Shah Afridi?
36.
Excellent. I'll give you that one as well. Question eight. What is Ian Bell's middle name?
Ronald.
What are Robert Key's two middle names?
WT, William Thomas.
Oof. Have another go on the T.
William Terence, William Theobald.
Trevor. So you get one for that. And the big one, question 10, can you name the UK Conservative Party leaders on Gareth Batty's test debut and final test appearance?
His final test appearance would have been in 2016 when the Conservative Party leader was your good friend, Theresa May.
Tess May, correct. Yeah, that's one.
And he made his debut in... I'm going to say it was your good friend, Michael Howard.
Oof, that was... Well, I like there is an answer there which is correct. The correct answer is actually Ian Duncan Smith. If the question had been, who was the UK Conservative Party leaders before... Gareth Batty started his run of consecutive test matches he missed before playing another test, thus coming top of that particular list, it would have been Michael Howard. But he made his debut in 2003, I think it was October or November, in Sri Lanka, I understand.
I thought he'd made his debut against, for some reason, in 2006.
No. No, So he definitely didn't play in 2006. So his last appearance, I think, was the test before the 2005 Ashes.
Series against the
yes.
World. Yeah.
I think him and Graham Thorpe bowed out at the same time, but
and then he Graham bounced back in again.
Graham couldn't bounce back 11 years later in the way that Bats could. Well, yeah, that was take a swig with Trigg, and that should we run through those answers?
Yeah, please do.
So, I mean, question one, and I'll say kind of why we put those questions in there as well. So, I just stumbled across the fact that there was a T20 World Cup in 2014.
Yeah, I know. I realise. As you started asking the question, I was like, Christ, there's loads of these.
Yeah.
Because there was also one in 2016.
Well, that was the last one.
And then there hasn't been one for 5 years.
No, so obviously there was meant to be one last year in Australia, and there's one next year in Australia.
Yeah.
This one was meant to be in India, and it's obviously in the UAE and Oman in the early stages. But who remembers the 2014 T20 World Cup?
Not me,
not you. And the fact we can't even remember where it was or who won it. Can you remember anything about how England did?
Literally not a sort. I'm guessing terribly.
Yes, absolutely terribly. So,
I think I can remember this. Was it in Sri Lanka? And did Sri Lanka win it?
Sri Lanka won it. It was in Bangladesh. I think England won one game, which was ironically against Sri Lanka, which is absolutely classic England in that stage. The same way that we used to always get to number one in the ODI rankings, but then get knocked out.
Yeah, the same way that Jonathan Trott was objectively a good one-day batsman or a good T20 batsman, but actually was terrible.
Just
scoring loads of runs doesn't make you a good...
The top three of Bell, Cook and Trott was never really going to set the world on fire, was it? So I think England lost to the Netherlands in that T20 World Cup. But I literally don't remember any of it.
That's not the broad run out, is it?
That was the 2009 one, I think. Or 8.
11 was, 11 was Kevin O'Brien's mega 100, wasn't it?
That was the ODI World Cup, yeah.
Yeah, the ODI World Cup, yeah.
One thing we've established here is there are way too many men's T20 World Cups.
But also, what we're really establishing is there's absolutely no logic or rhyme or reason as to when there is a T20 World Cup.
I think we're also establishing that that if England are rubbish at a particular format, you not only don't follow it, but you completely forget it.
But Pakistan have won the T20 World Cup, haven't they?
They have. I think they won it in...
So there must have been one... They didn't win it before we did in 2010.
No. So it was... I think
there
it was...
There must have been one between 2010 and 2014 as well.
There was a 2012, I think. I'll just pull them up here. I've studied lists recently. So, yeah, we've had 2007, 2009... 2010, 2012, 2014, 2016. I mean, quite how the ICC were then going to wait 4 years to 2020, I do not know. The fact it then ended up being 5 years, and obviously they're bouncing straight back with 2021 and 2022. No doubt there'll be one every year.
So they're just going to keep playing it till India win it, basically.
Yeah. And so as you spot on, India have not won it. Pakistan won it in 2009 in England.
Yep.
West Indies, the only team to have won it twice, 2012 and 2016. And although it's mathematically possible, I'm going to stick my neck out now and say they are not going to win this year's either. And also, no, India did win the first one. What am I on about? India won the first one in 2007. Yeah. England won it in 2010. Sri Lanka won it in 2014.
Great. Nice to see Sri Lanka winning stuff.
Absolutely. Everyone always has a soft spot for them. Let's go back to these questions, and then maybe we'll dive back into the World Cup properly. Who won last year's BBL? You were in the right city. I think you said Sydney Thunder.
Sixers.
Sydney Sixers. Who's currently top of this year's WBBL? I can't remember who you said. Sydney Thunder again. It's the Melbourne Renegades. We started getting things right with question five, because it's the Chennai Super Kings who won this season's Good friend Mo, former England Test vice captain, Moeen Ali, putting on a show. One day captain, just a great man. We've got the Shaheen Shah Afridi questions bang right, I'd say, both of them. We got Ian Bell's middle name. We got Robert Key's two middle names eventually.
Sort of.
And then we got the UK Conservative Party leaders. Well, yeah, we got there in the end. So
broadly correct for it.
Yeah, I mean, if we're looking at this as an innings, the top order absolutely failed, but your middle order and your tail absolutely wagged.
Brought us home.
So yeah, well done, Terence, on that. And any thoughts from your end on Take a Swig with Trigg?
I mean, I think it can become a regular feature.
Excellent. That's all we needed to hear.
I'll keep swigging.
Keep swigging. The other thing, and it wasn't just the Farage and talking pints, was I don't know if you saw Stark Contrast on the ICC website.
Stark Contrast,
which was again another little play on words and another little take on quickfire questions, which I saw that. And then I thought, based on that, I thought, you know, what could we do with Trig? And I thought, trigonometry. And okay. I thought about, and this is as far as I got. It's a bit Partridge Amongst the Pigeons. It's more just a name, and I've got a bit more than that. So, opening scene, trigonometry. We all know what that is. Triangle angles, etc. 360 degree players are a big feature of T20 cricket. Who are your favourite 90 degree players? Who are your favourite 180 degree players? That's as far as I got with it. I could think of Tim Ambrose as having only one real kind of scoring shot, and I think that would make him a 90. Would that make him a 90 degree player? I don't know. So there was thinking there.
Is your favourite 90 degree player not just the best player? Who's got the best square cut?
Ian Bell.
Andrew Strauss.
Straussy. Okay. Any others?
My favourite 90 degree players. Alistair Cook's little tuck off his hip.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. He was pretty 90 degree centric.
And this we could have the 45 degree, couldn't you? Someone on the 45. And that's next week.
Joe Root's pretty good on the 45. He plays that little,
late dab
cut thing that he just rolls it down to third man.
Yeah.
I've seen Sankaran fuck up quite a few of those, the scoops. You know, there's the scoops sort of turns into like a shot, but you're just the wrong way round.
Yeah.
He plays that quite a lot, doesn't he? And messes it up. Doing a fantastic job on punditry.
Oh, so you see his outfit.
Yep, bold. Very, bold. Very, I'd say 90s secondary school.
Non-uniform day.
No, I was going to say 90s secondary school, not a teacher, maybe like the receptionist.
Okay.
With like the sort of turtleneck blazer and chain over the top.
I mean, the chain over the top really was the icing on the cake for me. Yeah. I thought, I kind of understand the rest of it, but that is
a bit aggressively 90s. 90s
yeah,
mum.
That was when I kind of really thought, ooh, I do love you, Sam, but that's not so sure.
Peacocking a bit far.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like he's never dressed up smart before.
No, never been told. They quite often do go a bit too cash, don't they, on Sky for that. You, normally though, it's when it's a Sri Lanka series or something where they clearly had to get to the studio for 3 a.m. It's like, look, don't worry with a suit, man. It's just. Yeah, polo shirt's fine, but he doesn't have
Charles Colville Sky branded polo shirt.
Yeah, that's fine. then they're on message. Right, yeah. So that was trigonometry. Yeah, that one maybe not got quite as many legs. Although maybe it will, but definitely Take a Swig with Trig. We'll be back as well. Let's talk more generally about this T20 World Cup because as we previously said, if there's not been a World Cup of any sort for 2 years, then it's worth watching. It's worth remembering. If there's not been a T20 World Cup for 5 years, it's even more worth watching. And the icing on the cake is if England are actually good at that format, it's really worth watching. So talk me through your journey with the T20 World Cup so far, Terence.
Well, My journey started a lot like Papua New Guinea, Oman, and some of the other associate nations.
Island.
I started at the start of the tournament, but without really being allowed into the main tournament, which I think we can all agree is a complete joke.
Yeah, and we'll jump straight in there straight away. I don't like the fact that now you have stats saying number of sixes in the Super 12s. I'm like, no, there's been a round, so we don't need that. It's the whole tournament, thank
Yeah,
you.
these guys qualified. They're in, they're playing. Grow the game.
Exactly, and that was the first round. You can't stress enough that was the first round. That wasn't the qualifiers. I keep hearing people refer to it as the qualifiers. It was not. Stop getting Bond wrong. It
Stop
was not
getting the T20 World Cup wrong.
2021 T20 World Cup wrong. They
As
were
the official
not the
broadcaster of the
qualifiers.
World Cup, Sky, or an official broadcaster of the World Cup. So that's where it started. I'll be honest, it took me as it's.
Did you see the PNG caps?
Yep, beautiful.
Beautiful. Really want to get my hands
As
on one of
was
them.
the whole kit, to be fair.
Sorry, so yeah, so
Did take me
you
a little while to get into, and I think that's part of the problem with the with having the kind of first round such as it
Yeah.
is that the tournament doesn't really get going because the broadcasts aren't interested, because you don't get the, I mean, you've got some brilliant games in there, but it wasn't launched. It didn't get launched, did it?
No,
It just kind of
no.
happened. So
Yeah.
started off with a bit of a damp squib and then kind of struggled to get into it a little bit in the early games. But as it's gone on, we are getting some. The first, what, where are we? Four games in for most teams. I think New Zealand's only
Yeah.
played a couple, but most of the teams played three or four. There were some diabolical games early on in the tournament. Just absolute whitewashes. England thumped West Indies. South Africa were terrible. Pakistan
Afghanistan
were Afghanistan.
thumped Scotland.
Yeah,
It wasn't even a
absolutely.
thumping, it was a obliteration.
Namibia and Scotland played out quite a good game actually, but Namibia have taken some absolute hidings, as well as performing quite well like they did today. But as the tournament's gone on, we've seen some properly good cricket. England have been playing like the best side in the world. Pakistan have been playing like a side that have got two of the best batters in the world up top.
Two of the best batters in the world up top, a really good fast bowler who's pretending to be 21 and are still really fucked off that New Zealand and England didn't come at all.
Yeah, exactly. And they've got a point to prove, which
Yeah.
is all makes something really good. England have
Against
thumped.
everyone as well, against everyone. I think I saw a tweet from some Pakistan journalist earlier today that was complaining about how Namibia were meant to send some elephants to Lahore Zoo and then refused at the last
So they're
minute.
really, really
They're
digging
really
out the
ramping
pit
it up.
for
Yeah. Well, I love it. I'm all for that. So,
what have we got against Namibia? What can we
yeah,
find against
they
Namibia?
found it and then they really channeled that aggression. So, yeah.
Afghanistan are going to qualify.
Oh, mate, Afghanistan are great. I mean, again, for last time we did a pod, and the Taliban were not in power, but they are now. But Afghanistan have been great. Rashid Khan is so good.
He's unbelievable. They've got a proper batting lineup, and it's not just about Rashid Khan either.
No, it's
Majeed is
about
brilliant.
the fattest wicket keeper in the
Mo
tournament
Nabi
as
is still
well.
brilliant.
Yeah.
Their captain's retired mid-tournament
Yeah, and
somehow.
do you see his shot to get his final wicket?
To get his final wicket.
To get his final dismissal, how his
His
final
shot or
innings
his
end,
ball.
his ball, his bat. So he's the shot that he got out
Oh,
to.
that he played. No, I didn't
Yeah.
know.
Very kind of he went for the I'm gonna show you the stumps, and I'm gonna flick it over fine leg.
Oh, just
And then
absolutely fluffed it.
the bowler, who I think it was your good friend Reuben Trumpleman, followed him really far outside of off stump to the point where he just kind of like flicked it to point or gully
Oh,
to catch
really?
it. It was not how it should have. Not, I'm sure when he first started playing cricket, however many years ago, that was not a stroke that was in his
In his
armory.
locker,
But you're
and
right.
still not.
I'm still not. Yes, hasn't mastered it. Afghanistan have been great, and I did say this a bit on Twitter earlier today. But how, like Bangladesh, when did they become so useless?
Yeah.
Like they've only beaten PNG and Oman. They lost to Scotland, and then they've lost 4 from 4 in the Super 12. They were a little unlucky, you could say. Not unlucky. I mean, they came close to beating the West Indies, but then you remember that the West Indies are pretty awful as well.
Same question to the West Indies. When did they get awful? They've won the last two.
Are they just old?
And they're the West Indies, and
They won it last time just by being champions and by being Dwayne Bravo and
having a great song.
Yeah,
I sort of feel like there's an element of the West Indies that's a bit like taking up the mantle from Pakistan. Are now kind of out of absolutely nowhere, just quite a reliable, good side with proper players and
just channeling their aggression, aren't they? They just find they hate Namibia, so they thrash them.
They're channeling a lot of aggression. There's some proper coaches in place, there's a proper structure in place, and they seem to have sort of chilled out a little bit. Whereas West Indies have taken up that mantle of literally anything could turn up.
Yeah.
And God knows what.
And it's generally not been very good.
And generally lately it's been absolutely terrible.
What I was surprised to see was that Rustin Chase made his T20 debut, T20 international debut in the last game. He was brilliant in the CPL, and like it's generally been around for a while, so I was amazed to see that.
And he's one of their few genuinely international class players.
Yeah, and surely a batter who can bowl some spin is pretty useful in these conditions.
Yeah.
So should be sniffing around the team. Back to Pakistan as well. Interesting thing that when those series all got called off, all the Pakistan players went off and played in their domestic T20 league, and obviously they have the PSL, but this is like the national T20 cup or whatever. And they all did, well, they all did, but I know Babar Azam was doing really well and all the big names were doing well. But I guess they probably have come in with not only channeling their aggression, but they've actually just played a really competitive T20 tournament
in the right sort of conditions.
Right sort of conditions, exactly. And they played in the UAE lots before, so maybe it shouldn't be such a surprise that they're doing so well.
They've got really, really good players.
Yeah.
Their batting lineup is brilliant. They've legitimately got two of, I mean, we all know what the ICC rankings are all about, but they've got legitimately two of the 10 or so best batsmen in the world, I'd say.
Yeah.
Ronaldo has just scored a 91st minute equaliser for United, and it was a worldie. Yes. They've got two of legitimately the best batters in Rizwan and Babar Azam. They've got a brilliant bowling attack. And they're turning up and acting like a proper cricket team.
Yeah. And that Afghanistan game last Friday, which was, I'd say, probably the best game of the tournament so far for me, where they did 24 off the last two overs, and I think Babar Azam had just got out, someone else had just got out, and they wasn't looking that great, and then just hit four sixes in the over, won it with a six ball spare. What were you worried about? Like, brilliant, well done.
And did you see Wacker Yunus getting his age wrong?
No, I saw Shoaib Akhtar walk out of the live studio. Did you see that one? It was like the kind of, it wasn't Soccer Saturday, but it was more a six former players, pundits discussing Pakistan cricket, and he gets into an argument with the presenter and storms off. Always a bit of a hothead.
Full Piers Morgan. Slash Preston from the Ordinary Boys.
And left. Preston from the Ordinary Boys, you completely lost me there, Terence. But
he stormed off an episode of Nevermind the Buzzcocks.
Excellent.
Because Simon Amstell was taking a piss out of his girlfriend, who was someone else from Big Brother. I forget the name.
But that's facts.
And that's Nevermind the Buzzcocks.
Back to the T20 World Cup. Any other highlights? I didn't watch any of England v Australia. I vaguely saw that David Warner was out. Yeah, I was at a family do as well. So I was going to ask you to fill in the gaps, but from what
I've watched the highlights. It was
Joss Butler teed off.
It was an absolute Joss Butler masterclass. Chris Jordan continues to be an absolute Rolls Royce of a T20 bowler.
Yeah,
he's like You remember how Jay Dernbach started off this, how many variations can you have?
Italy's finest bowler, Jay Dernbach.
Italy/South Africa/Surrey's finest, Jay Dernbach.
Yeah.
Chris Jordan continues to take having millions of variations and just use it properly.
Yeah.
Like, he bowls length well, he bowls a slower ball well, he's got the cutters.
And boy, can he field.
And he's absolutely one of the best, I was going to say,
literally the safest hands.
And boundary catchers on the planet.
Yeah.
And he bats. Not that we've seen loads of that, but he bowled, from what I've seen, he bowled so well against Australia. They couldn't get him away. They couldn't get him off the square because of, like I say, the variations. And it's all beautiful. Bowled absolutely to a plan. And that's the beauty of Morgan, isn't it? You can... He's so in tune with what his bowlers need. He's so in tune he's always one step ahead of the batters, and he's got the bowling attacking people like Chris Jordan, who can pretty much bowl to whatever he sets.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, never was this more obvious than against Sri Lanka yesterday, when I think it was at the last, maybe the last four wickets, or maybe three of the last four were just like... Just
going down the fielder's throat.
Straight down the fielder's throat on the boundary.
Yeah.
And it was just like, this is mental. Like, they're just... Yeah. It's,
and it's not like... I've given Chris Jordan a lot of hype there because he bowled so well against Australia. Like rolling back the years well. And you sort of... We've spoken on this before, kind of what happened to his international career. And the answer is that... He's just gone away and become an absolutely world-class T20 bowler.
Yeah. And he's played everywhere. He's done BBL, PSL, IPL.
And he's kind of the forgotten man. Because he didn't make it into the 2019 World Cup squad, despite having been kind of... He was kind of in and out of the side, but he's always performed brilliantly in that side. I think probably had Jofra... not come in, he would have been there or thereabouts. I know David Willey was the man that ultimately got bumped for Jofra, but Chris Jordan would have been there or thereabouts. But over the last 2 years, he's just gone away and properly honed his craft. And the same can be said of Adil Rashid, who again, bowling at the death. Or in the opening over. I don't think there's a better spinner at the death in world cricket, especially when he's backed by a captain like O Morgan.
He's
so intuitive.
I do just love watching good spinners. Yeah. And let's not turn this into slating Moeen Ali and Don Best. But watching Adil Rashid, Wanindu Hasaranga, and Rashid Khan, and even Mujeeb as well. Just beautiful. I mean, we said that Afghanistan obliterated, demolished Scotland, but like those spinners just absolutely crucified them.
Yeah. Like Scotland had never seen anything like it.
No, they hadn't. They literally hadn't. Like Baldwin weren't even spinning that much. They just looked so off it all. So absolutely brilliant. I think the conclusion here is England are good at T20 cricket at the moment, so we're really following this tournament.
Should we talk about how good England are at T20 cricket?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just going to pull out...
You got a stat and
stat that talks to how good England are. So, over the course of their four games, they've got a net run rate of 3.1, which is insane.
For the layman, how do you work out net run rate?
How's it calculated?
Yeah.
It is, I mean, it's the run rate in your innings minus, it's the gap between the run rate in your innings and the run rate in the innings where you're bowling.
Yeah.
So it's the same as goal difference in football. It's how quickly you scored your runs, or the difference between how quickly you scored your runs and how quickly teams scored runs against you.
And where it varies to goal difference is you can, by finishing the game off quicker, it really helps.
So it is actively in your control in a way that goal difference isn't obviously you can always try and score more goals, but you can adapt your strategy in a T20 game.
Very to, good. At last, to, really strong. Really strong, that Terence. Love that.
To increase your net run rate. So England's is 3.1. Now, Afghanistan have a net run rate of 3.09, which is heavily, without wanting to borrow a phrase, root maths this, their net run rate is heavily influenced by the fact that they absolutely obliterated Scotland.
Absolutely.
To be fair, England's is heavily influenced by the fact that they obliterated the West Indies. That's how net run rate works. But Scotland are really bad. So they've got a net run rate of 3.1. If we're talking about the other major nations, South Africa 0.7, Pakistan are 1.06, like 3.1 is huge. But the stat that I really, really impresses me is that over the course of their four games so far, England are 471 off of 54.1 overs.
Excellent.
That's insane. And for context, against us, we are 441. We've faced 440 or conceded 441 runs off of 80 overs. So we're 30 runs ahead of the competition. And we've given the whole tournament a 26 over head start. Does that make sense? So it's almost like we've given up an entire game
and we still
managed to score more runs than the competition.
And I love all that, because I remember I was, you know, we talked about these multi-format series. I think this was with a, I don't think it was on a WhatsApp group with you, but I was saying how I'd like to see a series, that's a T20 series or ODI series, whereby it is cumulative. It's not completely cumulative, but it's in your interest not to get completely thrashed. It matters. And you're running with that, which is great.
Well, it's not so much. It's just the context is the fact that England have essentially scored more runs in less than three games than the entire rest of the competition has scored against us in four. It's a massive differential.
So it'd be nice if Pakistan, Afghanistan, England and South Africa in the semi-final. So are we saying India definitely out?
India are, I mean, it's looking tough. Pakistan are definitely through. Pretty much from that group,
they actually are through.
You're right, they actually are through. Afghanistan are looking good for the second spot. They play India next. And New Zealand have only played twice.
Yeah.
One, lost one.
And they got Scotland and Namibia, and then potential big clash against Afghanistan to finish with.
Yeah. And what are Afghanistan's next two games? India next, and then after that?
And then New Zealand.
And then New Zealand.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah, of course.
So they've, and then, so India have got Afghanistan followed by Scotland and Namibia. But I mean, the fact that India, just like they did in the 2019 World Cup, just seemed to have a massive gap between their first two games again, and that just backfired.
Yeah.
I love the fact that they've only taken two wickets in two games.
Yeah.
And like Bumrah's took them both. No one else has taken any wickets. It's
brilliant.
It's awful. And you were saying how great England were. And there's been quite a few articles actually kicking around last few days since India lost their second game, saying how it's a bit like England and the Premier League, and how everyone just gets drunk on the fact of how really great the domestic product is. Really, like, really, you just run with it in so many directions. People say, who's Scholes on the left? Yeah, who's Gerrard and Lampard trying to play together?
Yeah.
You just kind of, one thing I would say is from, and actually heard it on the Grade Cricketer podcast, they were talking about the Australia T20 team. And how they seem to have basically picked their test team with a couple of extra players, which really isn't, it's not the way to go in T20 cricket, is it? Whereas, obviously, the India team, it's like, well, yeah, have they Have they played together that much before, or they're just used to playing against each other all the time, aren't
Yeah.
they?
Have they just picked the best 10 players, chucked them all together with no actual thought for the strategy
Spirit,
or team
strategy,
cohesion or
left
who
arm,
complements
fast
who? Yeah.
bowlers. Yeah. Which is quite amazing.
Which
It's
is
pretty
exactly
mental,
what
isn't it?
England were doing 10 years ago in football.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, we look forward to, I doubt it'll be next year, but maybe in 6 years' time when India literally bring a team of vaguely no one's heard of
Yeah.
and win the hearts and minds of everyone
Yeah.
in a
Or
World
in
Cup.
20 years when England are absolutely tanking at the 100 World Cup.
Yes, and do the same.
Yeah. So
Final thing on
who's your money on for the semi-finals?
to
The
get
two
there or
remaining
to.
spots. To get there for the two remaining spots.
So I fancy Afghanistan. I think they'll still pull off at least another win.
You think they've got one more win in them
Yeah,
against?
and India.
You think Afghanistan final? Don't mind it. I don't mind it.
Don't mind it. Oh yeah, I mean, I'd love to see New Zealand just quietly get in there, as they generally is their want.
Yeah. It's a bit of a boring
And
semi. Bit of a boring semi-final lineup, though, isn't
yeah, and obviously it's been nice to Australia not to get anywhere near it.
it? Yeah.
So yeah, we wait and see. But then also, you say it's not that long until the next T20 World Cup, which will be in completely different conditions, which does put a lovely spin on things. But we can, we'll discuss that another time. For it all, who are you hoping for in the semis?
I'm still back in South Africa to get through from our group. Am I? I think we'll beat them on Saturday. I think we'll go through undefeated. And then I don't think, looking at net run rate, I don't think Australia will have enough in their next two games. I
Fine.
think they were. Australia have got left to play Sri Lanka
No,
and
they played Sri
Bangladesh.
Lanka. They got Bangladesh and West Indies.
Bangladesh and the West Indies.
We, as we said, Bangladesh have been
Both
awful.
terrible.
Yeah, West Indies. You'd think they'd turn up for that, but you'd have thought they'd have turned up for the game against England.
Yeah.
At
So
least at the
maybe
moment,
sneak
West
in.
Indies are still in.
Maybe the West Indies, maybe Australia sneak in ahead of South Africa. Unless England don't turn up on Saturday.
Purposely lose just to
Despite Australia.
that'd be great. I could definitely take that.
I don't think I can make a case for South Africa getting through. I think it'll
So
be
you're saying
England,
Australia
Australia.
through?
I think there's an outside chance that England, Australia, Pakistan, and India go through.
Oof. After all that.
Yeah, and
After all that,
after
isn't
all
it?
that.
After all
You can just see
that.
India just surely India are too good to not win their
They
last two games.
Yeah, that's like saying England is too good to not lose all those games at every World Cup,
Yeah, that's true.
and yeah.
My heart says Afghanistan have got enough and that South Africa have got enough. But I can't see South Africa beating us on Saturday, and I can't see Australia losing to either, to
No.
both of the West Indies and Bangladesh.
No. You're right, and we shall see. Final points, Terence, and we must talk about this, but then we will talk about it in even more detail because we will not be leaving the next pod for as long as we've left this one. 36 days until the start of the Ashes,
And it does go ahead.
and it does go ahead. Like
And it
currently,
goes
it's
ahead with
going
Ben
ahead.
Stokes.
Go to Ben Stokes with the Gabatoir. Within, I mean, we were predicting it. It was happening. It was coming. It was coming. And the second it was confirmed, I went and put a couple of quid on England to win the Ashes, even though it's still not going to happen. But the chances have just skyrocketed from being so dead in the water that at least now you can maybe get excited about winning a test.
Yeah.
And I think I'll definitely stay up and watch some of it because I genuinely before then was thinking, I can't be arsed. I really can't be
Yeah,
arsed with
I
this.
had been there before Ben Stokes got called up. It was a combination or was added to the squad. It was a combination of the fact that it's on in the middle of the night. England are terrible. I don't love the squad that we've picked. There's going to be no home commentary team, so we've got Aussie commentary on the Ashes in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
On BT.
It's just TMS, isn't it? Let's be honest.
It's just TMS all the way.
Yeah.
And staying up all night to listen to the radio is tough. No matter how much you love TMS, staying up all night to listen to the radio is hard work.
You kind of need to go out and go for a walk in the cold.
At 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And sleep's really precious at the moment.
Yeah.
So I had considered sacking it off. I shan't. I'll be up on the weekends. I should be getting up early. I should be going to bed late. I should be sitting up on Boxing Day.
It's just great. And all because Ben Stokes is going to come. And Ben Stokes is going to come. And, I mean, yeah, give us a percentage of where England's chances were before and now.
Well,
and feel free to have them both still at minus. But I think that works with percentages.
Sort of. Well, I mean, there's an argument that we've got our second best batter back and our second best seamer back.
Some would say first. Yep.
So if you increase, if you say there's five of each and two keepers, and we've got our second best player in both areas back, you could say that that's legitimately a 10% increase in either department.
Yeah.
Which is accounts to 20%, which is one test. So there we go. Now lose 4-1.
And I haven't looked up the stats yet, but just thinking off the top of my head now, and obviously you've got the fact that Joe Root hasn't scored a century in Australia, which is criminal, but Johnny Bairstow has, David Milan has, Ben Stokes has. Have we ever gone, when was the last time we went to the Ashes with three separate players who had scored test centuries in Australia and a captain who was averaging 700 this year? So
that's a fantastic question. I don't know. I'm going back in my head.
Definitely not the last one.
Definitely not the last one.
Cook and probably nobody else.
Oh, actually, in 2013-14, Cook, Bell, and Peterson probably all had. Definitely did.
Yeah.
There's bound to be someone else in that one, wasn't there? 2013-14.
I don't know.
Trott played one or two tests, didn't he?
He did. Yeah, you're right. Got it. So you got Trott, Cook, Bell, KP. But I mean, that one did fall apart.
Pryor, was he gone?
I think Pryor got a century at the SCG, the previous one. Maybe you can go to Australia with too many people who've got tons in previous.
Maybe
you
can be too good.
You can be too good, which we were then. Definitely, we were definitely too good in 2013-14.
And now we're too bad.
But no, we were too bad last time. But now I think three is about the optimum.
You reckon? Okay.
Tell you what I'll do. A working for me to go away and do is to find out how many we went to in 2010-11. How many of them had them? Because I don't think any. We don't win apart from then. So.
KP would have done.
KP did a double ton. Collingwood had gone big.
I don't think anyone else had even played.
Strauss had played in 2006. Did he get a ton? I don't think he did.
He wasn't very good, and we weren't very good.
No, I think the point is we get the general idea, and we can stop
trying to work out.
The point of the matter is that England have been utterly useless in the Ashes down under the last two, and last time in particular. I mean, we were rubbish, we were terrible, and the time four as well. But we found reasons to be positive, as well as Ben Stokes or part of Ben Stokes.
What do you like and what don't you like about the squad?
I don't like the fact that there's no James Vince.
Yeah, never thought I'd say that, but
I
yeah.
don't like the fact that I'm sure there's a better option than Don Bess. Is
Yeah,
my
I would have taken Matty Parko.
is facts of the matter. What I do I like? I mean, I like the fact that Moeen's not going. It's done. He's not going.
Yeah, I
Well, he's
agree. I
retired.
love him, but we're done, aren't we?
But like, yeah, don't. Let's not faff around on either side. It's not happening. And he was god awful last time.
He was so, that him in the last Ashes series again. Much so love him, and actually, I think he did okay when he came back into the side this summer. His performance in the last Ashes series down under was the worst individual performance by anyone I've ever seen in an England series since I've been watching cricket.
And
Watching him bowl at Steve Smith was like watching a kid chucking a tennis ball against a garage wall.
but he also the fact that he was kind of going out there with a good reputation as well, wasn't he? And it
Yeah.
has crumbled.
Yeah,
So
exactly.
yeah, that's what I do like. Can't think of anything else from that squad. It was very when I remember when it was announced, it was like, oh, but as we say, now Stokes is in there, and we're already building a case for why it's going to be great.
Yeah. I agree. I like Milan in Australia.
Yes.
I don't know how I feel about the openers in Australia.
I'd have liked to have seen Sibley in there, actually. I think that's
Yeah,
what I would have liked
I
to.
think
And
mainly
life.
because the Aussies would have hated it.
Yes. And but we might have as well. But yeah, we've also got the Lions there as well. So hopefully a few of them might get a little cheeky call up
Which
as
he's
well,
not in. Sibley's
which
pulled out of.
he said he can't see. That was another thing I was going to do, which I wanted to discuss why he pulled out. And I keep pushing this theory, like Novak Djokovic hasn't been double jabbed, so he won't be allowed in Australia. I was wondering if Dom Sibley hadn't been double jabbed, and was that was the kind of party line. He was just gonna stay at home and work on his game, as opposed to going to Australia and working with England's batting coaches, where if there was an injury, he could get called up and get play in the Ashes
Yeah, it
squad
does
Ashes
seem
straight away. He's a
counterintuitive, doesn't
bit
it?
odd.
I'm
But
actually on
anyway.
work on my game in Birmingham, away from the Ashes and away from Australia.
Without friends.
Yeah.
In the
Hope he's all
cold.
right.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean that's why I'm questioning. We're here for you, Dom.
Yeah.
If you need help. Maybe we'll cover that one in the next pod.
Which won't be as
That
long
we
as this one was in the making.
won't be as long in the making. There will be another swig with Trig. That who knows, we might even play trigonometry. I'd like to think
If
there's a
we can
good
work out
chance of
what that
that,
game actually is.
if that game actually is. And listeners out there as well, if any of you can think of any other good play on words with the name Terence, Trig, anything like that, then send them in. And we'll give it a go. Can't say fairer than that. Any more for any more, Terence?
All good. That was ace.
That was ace. Excellent to be back in the chair. Excellent to be doing it again. Let's do it again very soon. 36 days to go to the Ashes. Let's try and do at least three before the Ashes.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Nice one, mate. Speak
Cheers,
soon.
mate. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.